across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Up North News Radio. My name is not Pat Breitlow. I know he said Pat Breitlow coming live from Lake Wissota, but I am coming live from Waukesha, Wisconsin. My name is Greg Bach. I am Pat's producer, and Pat is out today taking another day of wonderful and deserved vacation. I'll be with you for the next couple hours, and we'll be talking about all the wonderful things in the world. We'll be talking about sports, news, weather, and, of course, the election, because tomorrow is election day in Wisconsin. And I got to, you know, Pat always starts the show with a question, and I have a question for you that will, I want to stay with you today and tomorrow. And that question is, do you have an election plan? And what I mean by that is, do you plan to vote first? I hope you do. If you do plan to vote, do you plan to tell others to vote? Do you plan to help others to vote? Do you plan to help others get informed on what's on the ballot? Because that's a very important part of this election process. It's not just about getting in your car, going to the polling place, casting your ballot, and going home. That is very important, getting that sticker. That sticker is very fun to have for at least 1 to 2 days. Then people are like on Thursday, like, was there an election? You have to say, yeah, 48 hours ago. But an election plan is always good to have in your pocket, and that does include getting to the poll, helping others get to the poll, and helping others be informed. And someone who always keeps me informed at all times, whether it's about medicine, whether it's about love and life, whether it's about the sports of Minnesota, which I never cared about until like 6 months ago. That is Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who will be with me today for quite a bit of the show. Dr. Lyerly, welcome.
Good morning. And can I just clarify, not the sports of Minnesota, the Gophers, because I am a Gopher, but I am also a Badger. And I love the Bucks and the Brewers right now. Can you believe what's happening with the Brewers? And of course, the Packers. So I am a Wisconsin girl, and I'm all about Wisconsin sports, except for that little Gopher thing.
It's that little Gopher problem. I can't find a doctor that can get rid of that one. It's with me forever.
No, I like it. It's like, it's an important part. You know, we all have a history. Yeah. That is just part of my history. I accumulated that at some point, and, you know, I'm proud of it. But I am a Wisconsin girl, born and bred.
Yes, you very much are. And I'm very, very happy to have you here today with me on Up North News Radio. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to be talking about the election. Like I said before, Kristen, may I ask, have you voted already?
I did. I always vote by mail.
Okay.
For two reasons. One, I love going to the polls and I love that energy.
Yes.
But sometimes I get distracted or I'm busy or mm-hmm. I get stuck at work and I can't get there on time. And I want to make sure that I get my vote in. So that's number one reason. And number two is sometimes I don't know who the candidates are on the ballot.
Yeah.
So it's important to be able to research it. And that way I get my ballot. I sit it down. I do my Googling the best person is to represent me.
Yeah.
And that way I'm making an informed vote. I've been trapped too many times in the ballot box going, I don't know who these school board people are. How do you even make an informed decision? So that has made me a much more effective voter,
yeah,
even though it takes a little of the jazz out of it.
Oh, I get that too. I do like the convenience of early voting. I'm happy that we have it here in Wisconsin. Who knows for now? I don't know. You never know. It is mm-hmm. a valuable thing to have available to us. And if you're listening right now and you have a voting plan or if you voted, feel free to give us a call. You know, you can always call to us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or if you're listening or watching on the live stream, you can see me in a very brightly lit room while Dr. Lyerly is, of course, still on vacation, but joining us. But you can let us know on the live stream what your plan is or what you, if you have any questions, we can hopefully answer those for you. But a great place to go to for questions, if you do have any, as far as polling place, who's on my ballot? What is on my ballot? Always, always, always go to myvote.wi.gov. That is, I'm telling you, the best place for it. You're going to plug in your information. It's going to tell you where you're voting. It's going to tell you who's on your ballot and who represents you, from President Biden all the way down to your county supervisor, as well as your alderman. And heck, if you vote for a dog catcher, they're going to be on that list as well. But most importantly, and I think, and Dr. Lyerly, I hope you can agree with me on this one, is, am I registered?
Yes. Yes. Wisconsin. Did you know that Wisconsin is the third hardest state to vote in?
I did not know. No, but now that you say those words, I'm like, yeah, why not? Why not? Why not that be the case?
Yeah, because we can't use drop boxes, which is crazy to me that I can put my ballot in my mailbox on the road and put the little red flag up. Anybody could come by. It is a federal offense to take something out or put something into somebody's mailbox, but it's not secure. But what I'd really like to do is drive up to where my town hall is and put it in the very secure drop box. But I can't, because we can't use that because of politics,
yes,
essentially.
Because of yeah, you know what? I don't want to. We've only got a couple hours. Yes, politics. Let's just say that. Let's make it very simple and say politics. Another thing, too, is, and I said this last week, whether it's natural reasons because you moved, or, you know, you haven't voted in a while, a long while, or nefarious reasons, which have happened all across the country, you may not be registered. You may no longer be on the voter rolls. So going right to myvote.wi.gov will help you know that you are on those voter rolls. And if you are not, and you're looking today, we're telling you this because it will make your experience a little different. So I'm registered. I'm going to vote tomorrow. I'm going to walk in. I'll probably be in there for about 10 minutes, maybe less. But if you're not registered to vote, it's going to be a little bit of a longer experience. It's going to be a longer line, most likely. You got to bring an ID. You got to bring an ID no matter if you're registered or not, which is a whole other show to talk about. But you'll need that ID. You'll need a piece of mail showing your residency. And we want you to be prepared for that, because a lot of times if people see a line, they'll say, it's a spring election. Who cares? You must care. All the elections matter. We talked to you about Justice Janet's election. Y'all turned out for that. These are just important. We have amendments on the amendments regarding the Constitution of Wisconsin on this ballot. So we want to make sure you are informed, prepared, and fired up to vote today. So,
and a lot of us have school referendums on this ballot,
yes,
which is how we have decided to fund most of our public school systems in Wisconsin. Our school funding system is fundamentally broken.
Yes.
We don't automatically give our schools enough money to be able to operate. So in my school district, De Pere, and in Green Bay's school district last time around, we've had to have operational referendums on the ballot just to keep the lights on, just to make sure we have enough teachers, just so that we can keep our class sizes at appropriate sizes so that, you know, kids can learn in an effective manner. So it is so important to get out and vote for these school referendums, even especially if you don't have kids in the schools. I think a lot of us feel like, well, school board, you know, I don't have kids there, it doesn't really matter. No, it does matter. Mm-hmm. Schools are the foundation of our community. And when we have healthy schools, we have healthy kids, we have healthy businesses, we grow in a healthy way. So even if you don't feel like you are part of the school district, you 100% are. Please get out and please support your local schools.
Yes. And before we get into all the election talk, I want to do a couple of things right here. Of course, it's Up North News Radio. Where would we be without some temperatures? Right now, it's April 1. No fooling. Chippewa Falls is 31. Lake Wissota also 31. Green Bay 36. So right by where you are. Oh, not by where you are, Dr. Lyerly. You're still in Puerto Rico?
It's 79 in San Juan.
Moving on.
I'm sorry, people.
We talked last night and I said, like, you don't have to be on the entire. She's like, I'm on vacation. I'm like, yeah, you're on vacation. But Oshkosh is at 37, Appleton 35, Milwaukee's 38. And where I am in Waukesha, it is 34 degrees. Speaking of, we spoke about earlier, just a couple seconds ago here, about sports. Unfortunately, Marquette did not make it past the Sweet 16 this past weekend. They did lose to NC State. But you know what? Hey, I'm of the mind. You made it that far. You're a pretty darn good team. So it's just about next year and moving on and keeping going. The Bucks did beat the Hawks on Saturday, which is great, 122-113. But let's talk about them Brewers for a moment.
Yeah. How about them?
I mean, now it's the start of the season. I get it, but I'm a Brewers fan, and a lot of the analytics have the Brewers doing not so great this season. And, well, we decided to come into New York and sweep the whole thing and be like, see y'all later, Big Apple. We're taking this one home. We swept the Mets all three games this weekend. That was our home. That was our opener. The first two games of the season were, of course, postponed because of weather. But the three games we did play against the Mets, we did beat them. The second game, I believe, was 7-6. We did give up quite a bit of a lead up until the end, but we did come ahead. And I don't know if you saw this. It was quite contentious, too. There was some fighting and some name-calling and some face-making. I was like, oh, the Brewers are getting real New York on the Mets.
Wasn't there a wild pitch?
Yes.
And then the Mets pitcher was penalized, and so was the manager?
Yeah, the Ramirez was kicked out for three games, and the coach was penalized or was suspended for one game. So,
yikes.
Welcome to the baseball season. And then also I was scrolling through the news too for some sports information. Sports information. And we'll probably talk about this more as it comes along, but I don't know if you saw this news as well, but five Wisconsin Badgers selected to be a part of the U.S. Women's World Championship hockey team.
That is not at all a surprise. Yeah. I mean, Wisconsin women's hockey is always great. And look what they were able to do this year.
Yeah.
Even look at the final game. Yeah. You know, like they were so, so close. So we know that we have excellent women's hockey players in Wisconsin.
We got excellent sports here in Wisconsin. It's just absolutely wonderful. We're gonna be talking more about the weather coming up a little bit later, and we'll be talking about elections. And guess what? I went to the doctor, and Dr. Lyerly is happy about that. So stick around, get yourself some coffee, get yourself a snack bun, and don't go too far. Stay with us. You're listening to Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Up North News Radio. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow, who is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. But we're here keeping it fresh and fun for you on this Monday morning, April Fool's Day, April the 1. But there's no fooling. It's election day tomorrow. We'll be talking about that throughout the show. But more importantly, as always, I have Dr. Kristen Lyerly by my side here. It's so wonderful. Seriously, when Pat said, do you want to have Dr. Lyerly on the show? I think he actually just said Kristen's going to be on the show. I'm like, yes.
You know, I love hanging out with you. This is just like we're, you know, we're having some coffee. We're talking about the elections. Mm-hmm. Maybe some April Fool's jokes might filter in at some point. I don't know.
Are you an April?
Maybe this whole show is an April Fool's joke.
Maybe life is an April Fool's. Are you an April Fool's person? Are you a prank person?
I love a good prank, but it has to be like well executed.
Yeah. I think well executed, but also not leaving the person who is the joke to stand there going, that sucked. Like, you know what I mean? Like this one hurts. You really got it. Cut me to the quick on that one. Steve.
No, it can't be mean.
Yeah.
It can't be mean-spirited. It has to be something that's like funny that everybody enjoys. That's why it's so tricky, because you have to make sure that it's like a win-win for the joker and the jokey.
And then you got to leave the door open for the jokey to get back at you. So,
right. So true.
Longtime contributor to the Up North News live stream, Roger says, Reese Hoskins has a history of irking the Mets. One time, 2019, he believes is he did a home run trot in 34 seconds to rub it in. Well, that's just okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the thing is, I think at one point, and you, if you're watching the live stream, you can see this, but at one point, one of the Brewers, I don't know who it was making like a face, like putting his fingers to his hands going, nyeh. Oh no, he was doing the crying motion. Like, oh, you crying? Are you crying? I'm like, that's not very Wisconsin, gentlemen. I mean, we are Midwesterners. We reserve that for when we get out of view. That's our passive aggressive nature. So, Kristen, I told you about this. So, I'm on the Twitter/X still. And
it's hard to quit.
Yeah, it really is.
So much information there.
I was scrolling. I'm like, I have so much respect for people who can just stop. Like, who are like, yeah, I'm getting off Twitter. I'm like, how do you do that? And because of the grand takeover of one Elon Musky, there's a whole bunch of people in my feed that I don't follow them. I'm not interested in what they have to say. But there was a flood of tweets from GOP lawmakers this weekend, Wisconsin lawmakers, talking about the vetoes that Tony Evers did and spinning it in their way of saying, like, oh, they vetoed a tax cut for the seniors. I'm like, well, senior rich people, really, when it comes down to it. That's not, you're not giving me the whole story. But one of the things that I saw was, you know, Tony Evers doesn't really care about kids, does he? And it has to do with the fact that he vetoed a Republican child care bill, which was essentially just a big plan to loan money to those who run childcare centers. And
loan money, yes. Not give money, but no. Loan money to childcare centers without fixing the problem.
Exactly.
So they would never be able to pay those loans back.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of the things that Governor Evers talked about in the reasons why he vetoed it. He said, this is not a solution. And this is, been a problem, well, for a long time, but we've been talking about it here on our shows for quite a while now, as far as, you know, you can't fix the problem by loaning these individuals monies. You can't fix the problem by saying, oh, well, we'll allow you to take on more children and we'll allow your workers to be younger. And what you're doing is you're not actually making a solution for the future. You're just putting children to work, taking care of children, and then saying you're going to be indebted to us for either until forever or until you close down, if that's the case. And
it's like a crappy political Band-Aid. It's like not even a Band-Aid version of Band-Aid. It's like a generic Band-Aid that's going to fall off immediately, but it gives them a talking point that they can then sell to people who don't understand the complexity of this issue. Governor Evers has been an incredible, dedicated governor who values education and deeply cares about our children. If ever a governor in my lifetime cared about children, it's Tony Evers. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're hitting him on this is just like, it's unbelievable. And it's just so false.
Yeah. And he's quoted as saying, and this is a very powerful quote, if you ask me, he said, the state must make the meaningful, sustainable investment necessary to stabilize the crucial childcare industry and prevent its collapse.
Yes.
I don't feel like Tony Evers is the type of person who utilizes the word collapse just for fun. Because we're at a place now where, you know, these childcare owners, center owners are struggling hard. And there was even a last ditch effort from the Democrats to change those loans into grants. And I guess there's still a possibility they can, but when Governor Evers, then this is my big problem from a media/messaging portion, is that he vetoes it with a good heart, saying exactly why he's doing it. And he's actually protecting those who own these centers so they can actually do what they can do and get the money they need. The Republicans just say, well, Tony Evers does not care about children or small business. And you can't, and what am I going to do? Tweet back at them? I'm sick of tweeting at Julian Bradley. He doesn't tweet back. He never.
No, and it's just wrong. I mean, it's just wrong. I don't even know what more to say about it. It's like you have to understand the rest of the story in order to know where the poison pills are in legislation like this. It's just never as simple as the solution that they're offering. And in order to create a cohesive, sustainable plan for our childcare providers, who, remember, just a couple months ago, they were at the Capitol. They were protesting and begging, begging for a better solution here. And this is the best thing that they could come up with. We know that this isn't going to work for them. In Northeast Wisconsin, where I live, there is more need for childcare providers than there are childcare providers, because it is an unsustainable business practice. Yeah. So we've got to fix the problem, not just throw a few dollars in loans at these people and expect them to be happy. We have to do better.
And I'm glad you mentioned the point of language. We're going to talk about that coming up in a little bit. And with the election, I want to speak on the constitutional amendments for the state. We had a caller call in last week during Matt and Aaron Air, and the language in the constitutional amendment questions are very much just like, oh, of course I don't want outside dollars coming into our elections. Of course I don't want non-officials handling our ballots. It's like, yeah, they write it like that, so you think it's a very, very simple idea. But when you vote yes, you are cutting off funding and you're cutting off resources. And we're going to talk about that more in a moment. But right now, Dr. Lyerly, you look like you could use some more coffee. I could use some more coffee and a snack bar. So we're going to do that. You guys go get you what you need to do. We're going to return in a little bit, but don't go too far, because you are listening to Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. And good morning to you, everyone, coming across the Civic Media landscape. My name is Greg Bach, and this is Up North News Radio, sitting in for Pat Kreitlow today, who is out. We'll be back tomorrow. And I wanted to play a little Dolly Parton, as suggested by Pat, but I couldn't play Jolene, Dr. Lyerly, because...
you want me to sing it?
Oh, would you like to?
Everybody loves to sing Jolene. It is like the karaoke song.
It's a wonderful karaoke song, but I gotta say, you know, I don't know if you know this, but last Friday was, I call it Beyonce Day, for those who celebrate, because Beyonce released her new record, Cowboy Carter, part two of her trilogy, and her rendition of Jolene with new lyrics and a harder bite on a lady who's trying to steal her man. I feel like Beyonce owns Jolene for right now. So I played Mule Skinner Blues, which is a Jimmy Rogers cover, which is an absolutely great song. but yeah, that album is awesome. And I was waiting for people to complain about, like, oh, I can't believe she redid Jolene. Dolly Parton endorsed it, helped it, and hoped for it. She wanted Beyonce to do that song from before the album ever came out. So we love Dolly. She is a treasure. Must protect
She's, her. You know, Dolly, when you look at her, is just always so beautiful and put together, but she is a force.
Oh.
She wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You on the same day.
Yeah.
She's written so many songs, and she's such a savvy businesswoman. Mm-hmm. She's been around forever. And what she's done in a time when women were not present, certainly in the country music scene, but she's just this quiet, powerful force for so long.
Yeah.
So to know that Dolly backs Beyonce, I can't wait to hear it, Greg. I'm so glad that you recommended it.
One of the greatest things I think Dolly has ever done, which I think would be part of her legacy, is she's got her book program. And it is, if you sign your child up for the first 5 years of their life, they will get a book every single month from this program that she has put so much money into. She has spent so much money to make sure children are reading and have access to books. I mean, that is just a piece of the giant Dolly puzzle that I absolutely love. So love Dolly Parton. Love her. Love having you on the show, Dr. Lyerly. Let's talk about, we're talking about the election. We got to have ourselves a plan. Got to vote tomorrow if you're voting. I believe all early voting is closed today. So if you're going to be voting, you're going to be voting tomorrow. So make sure you know your polling place. Make sure you know where you're going to. You can do that by going to myvote.wi.gov. That can tell you where your polling place is. It'll tell you where you stand as far as being registered. So make sure you are registered to vote. Luckily, Wisconsin still has same-day voting registration. And yeah. And bring your ID. Could talk about that for hours, but just make sure you have your ID. And if you're not registered, have a piece of mail with your residency on there as well. So, Dr. Lyerly, there are two questions on the statewide ballot for consideration of being added to the Constitution of Wisconsin. One of those being the use of private funds in election administration, and the other one is election officials. And the first one has to do with, and the Republicans, the GOP lawmakers have been spinning it by using these terms, Zuckerbucks.
These are obviously very politically motivated proposed constitutional amendments. And that's really all they are. It's amazing to me how these folks who are in charge can spend so much time ginning up these false needs, but yet not doing their actual job. When we can't afford childcare, when people are going without health care, when people can't afford to put food on their table, and they're spending all their time putting constitutional amendments that are silly and meaningless out there for us to consider.
And later on in the show, Pat has an interview that we're going to be playing for you with Deborah Kronmiller, who is the executive director of League of Women Voters Wisconsin. And if you want a great breakdown of what these amendments are about, and, you know, in my opinion, and I think Dr. Lyerly, you as well, why you should vote no on these amendment, these questions on your ballot, you go to the League of Women Voters, which is lwv.org/Wisconsin, and it will give you a breakdown of what's happening there. And I will allow Deborah Kronmiller in the interview to do a much better job of explaining it than I can. But one of the things she said when she was on Matt and Air on Air was that outside funds are nothing new. It's nothing evil. It's nothing that's trying to take away your freedoms or rights. It's something we've been doing for a long time. And I found it interesting that the GOP were using the term Zuckerbucks to scare people, because as far as I remember, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook was allowing nefarious and, you know, outside forces get to his website to influence the election in a different way, in their direction. So, as you said,
you have to take steps to get there. You know, they say Zuckerbucks, and they say it in such a way that it makes you feel uncomfortable. Yeah. So then you feel like Zuckerbucks are bad. Mm-hmm. Constitutional amendment is needed. But really, what does this constitutional amendment mean? It means that we won't have enough money to fund our elections because we're not putting enough public money. It's all about money. Yep. We're not putting enough public money into funding our elections. So then that would make our elections less secure. So follow the reasoning here. Less money, less secure elections. That's the actual problem here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I guess a plea to our listeners, if this is something that you are concerned about, and I hope that you are on some level, please consider stepping up and working the polls, helping out with the elections. We've got an incredible system of administering elections in Wisconsin that is very decentralized and very much dependent on what happens locally. So there is a place for you to pitch in, maybe be that person who checks off the names, maybe help with the mailing or whatever it is. It's a great place to volunteer your time.
Yes.
You'll see how secure it is, how highly regulated it is, and how committed the people are to making sure that our elections are safe and secure.
That's another reason why when you go to the polling places tomorrow, be patient, be polite, be kind, and say thank you to everyone, from the person who welcomes you in to the person who gives you the sticker. Thank them for their time. Thank them for their, I mean, when I say sacrifice, I know we say that in a lot of times with bigger deals, but it is a sacrifice of their time and of their, you know, It's not a high-paying, sexy job. So
it's not a paying job.
Yeah,
really, for most people.
Yeah.
So yeah, be nice.
Yeah, it's just Dr. Lyerly's prescription. Be nice. another thing that Deborah will probably cover in the interview, and she said with us, is that with both of these questions. These were things, the, you know, between the election funding and the election officials. These were things that could not become bills. These were things that the GOP failed to pass as law. They could not be put into, you know, just the books. So instead, what they're doing is they're saying, well, you know, what we couldn't do on the floor, we're going to do in the Constitution. So let's just enshrine it in the Constitution. That'll be fine. That will never come to bite us in the tuchus down the road. And that's a terrible way to look at things.
This is our Constitution.
Yeah.
This is the document that provides the outline for how we run our state. And what especially the Second Amendment does is it does not clarify or provide additional information. It actually makes the water murkier. And that's the opposite of what we should be doing when we amend our Constitution. It's just the whole process is just very broken and very political.
Yeah. And so, like, when we talk about that Second Amendment proposition, the second question, that one is dealing with election officials. And when we're, you know, when you were talking about just now about, you know, volunteer, help out, it says that it's, this process takes a lot of people. There needs to be a lot of people on the site. There needs to be a lot of people running. I mean, from people getting ballots to people processing to people looking up names to people running to get food for the people at the location. It takes a lot of individuals to be a part of this process. And now the second question is about saying that only quote unquote election officials can have anything to do with the election process, which seems like another way to gum up the works, to make it, to slow it down, to disenfranchise people by making the process slower. Because like I said, there's so many times where, you know, you got a person who is working a 9-to-5 or, and they're like, all right, I'm going to take my lunch hour to get to go vote. And they see a line. They're like, well, I'm not voting today, I guess. And that's because of measures like this, because we're doing our best to keep the process as slow and as intimidating. And on top of that too, you know, I'm going to add the failure to pass the bill that was going to allow bigger cities like Madison and Milwaukee to start counting their ballots early, because that, you know, in those huge cities, you need more help, you need more resources. And these questions are just doing their best to slow the process, but then also paint them as we're protecting you.
But then they leave out the how they're protecting us part.
Yeah.
You know, like, when what is it about counting the ballots early? That's a problem. They're going to get counted eventually. So why not start early so that you know where you're coming from? Or put something, a safeguard in there, like, you know, you can count them early, but you're not reporting them until all of the count is in, you know, something like that. But other places do it this way. We can really draw from so many other experiences across the country where they do voting better than we do, where they make it easier for people to vote. You know, I always think, because I've always had a pretty normal-ish kind of schedule, so I've always been able to take time to go and register and vote and do the things that I need to. But I think about people who are working two or three jobs, and they're working, maybe they work overnight and they sleep during the day and they've got childcare obligations. You know, there are plenty of people who are just, they're barely making ends meet. How do you find that time to be able to vote? We've got to make it as easy as possible for those people to vote, because their voices are as important, or I would even argue maybe more important, because they've got more problems than we do that need to be solved. And we're not hearing from them because they just don't have time to engage and to be able to be informed.
And I don't mean to be the not a party ruiner, but I want to make something very clear with regard to the whole, with the bill of Milwaukee, Madison, and counting ballots early. This was a bill that went through the assembly. It passed with the endorsement of Robin Voss, who has said on record that 2020's election was safe, secure, and fair. And it was their thought to have early ballot counting in the bigger cities available, so it just made the process easier. Voted, went through. Stopped in the Senate, dead, done, not going anywhere. So that means in 2024, this year, in November, that first Tuesday of November, people are going to be sitting around going, there are ballot dumps in Milwaukee. What's going on? This doesn't look good. This isn't a good look. This looks like cheating. No, it's because they don't have the resources because our state leader said, nah, it doesn't help our narrative.
No, it's totally political. Like, the truth is this long, boring story, but if you can take like a spicy little piece of it and make people uncomfortable, and that's exactly what this is. It's a ballot dump. No, it's the fact that we can't start counting ballots until the day of.
Exactly.
That's the problem.
Making election spicy. If the GOP said that, we're like, we're making elections spicy.
Spicy.
And also, if you would have said to me, name 10 people who have a normalish schedule, you wouldn't have appeared on the top 30. You are Minnesota, Wisconsin, Puerto Rico, here, there, conferences, you're everywhere. I'm like, but all right, well, let that be the lesson. If Dr. Lyerly can make time to vote because she's a very, very busy person, you can vote as well. Make that voting plan. Get yourself out there. Myvote.wi.gov for information. See your ballot. Mm-hmm. See who you're going to be voting for. And take a friend.
Oh, yeah. Take a friend. Have a conversation. When you go out for breakfast some morning with your friends, look at your ballots. Look at who's running for school board. And if you don't know who the people are who represent your values, then figure it out together and have that conversation and get the word out. That is one of the most important things that we can do. Talk to somebody that you care about or talk to somebody who you have a good relationship with and just encourage that conversation. You don't have to make it political, but if somebody who is malignant gets on your school board, that can be a huge problem and that can have a giant impact on your community. So this is all about coming together, having positive, productive conversations, listening to each other and building community.
We'll be returning back with This Day in History. Dr. Lyerly's still with us. You're listening to Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. My name is Greg Bach. I'm sitting in for Pat today. And no, I'm not playing that song because it's April the 1st.
Rickrolling us.
I'm not Rickrolling the entire Civic Media Radio Network or whomever's listening. I'm telling you this because this is the anniversary of the Rickroll.
Is it?
Yep, 2008 on April Fool's Day. So it is an April Fool's joke, but I'm conveying history to you people. I'm not trying to trick you. But yeah, YouTube tricked their users with a popular bait and switch prank, which actually Aaron Zommers of Civic Media did with me this week and got me pretty good. I'm not used to it anymore, so when he got me, I was like, good job.
He Rickrolled you, or was it a different one?
He Rickrolled me. He went... Straight tradition. It was straight tradition.
My kids are doing it to me with, have you seen the mayonnaise on an escalator meme?
No.
It's Back in Black by AC/DC, but it's mayonnaise on an escalator. And it's literally just a jar of mayonnaise going up on an escalator. So it'll start out being like normal video and then it'll just break into mayonnaise on an escalator. And I just cannot not laugh.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I have a friend. I have a friend of mine whose name is now escaping me right now. His name is Cameron. He's a comedian. He has impression of Arnold Schwarzenegger saying mayonnaise. He goes mayonnaise, and I've seen him do it 50 times. I've laughed all 50 times. It's just always always hilarious. Little bit. We're starting fun here, but 1984 singer Marvin Gaye is shot to death by his father. Their home in Arlington Heights, Los Angeles. He, of course, wrote and performed so many amazing songs, so integral to the music experience, the Motown experience. This is Mercy, Mercy Me. This album. Oh. What's going on?
His voice is like butter.
His voice was like butter, But then he spoke about these, he sang about these topics that just made you hurt because he was giving you, he was trying to give you the experience he was having in this world. And it's just, oh, yes, wonderful. Very, very missed. Lost him 40 years ago today.
Wow.
1954, U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower authorized creation of the U.S. United States Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, Colorado. We are celebrating the birthday of Hillary Scott, who is the singer of the group Lady A, formerly known as Lady Antebellum. She is 38 years old today. I give it up to any modern country group that still has a banjo, you know? Happy birthday to Milwaukee Buck Brooke Lopez, who is 36 years old today. He is.
Yeah.
And also happy birthday to his brother, Robin. Robin and Brooke Lopez. That's adorable. Happy birthday to United States Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito, who is 74 years old today.
I don't want him to actually have a happy birthday. I'm not a fan.
I want him to have a. I want him to have a day. I don't wish badness upon him.
No, I want him badness.
I want him on his birthday to reflect on all the things he said and done, and go, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, maybe a moment of clarity day. Like on his birthday.
Like a U.S. Supreme Court Christmas carol.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll write that.
Oh, this could be a whole bit for you.
It could be the
coming up with new material. Folks.
Scalia comes back wrapped in chains and constitutions and just, I was wrong. A boy can dream.
Oh, I really like this. Take notes, Craig. Craig's listening. Craig, take notes. He's being coffee and listening.
and then in 1989, this is in 1989. This day in 1989. Wow, the words are hard sometimes. But this day in 1989, the Bengals hit number one in America with this slow skate anthem.
Do you feel the same? Am I only dreaming?
I still love this song.
Is this burning an eternal flame? I believe.
You know what really, the Bengals, I always liked the Bengals a lot. They broke up 6 months after this song came out. They were done.
Yeah. Girl bands. It was really hard to be a girl band.
I couldn't even imagine. I wasn't in a boy band, but I was in a band with boys, and it was not easy too.
I, in my mind, though, am always going to think of you as being in a boy band now that you've confessed that.
I'm
the Box Five.
I am the one in the band. And like,
your
like,
brother Johan.
Yeah.
Johan, Sebastian, and Greg.
There you go. Why is Greg in the band? He's really good at lifting equipment. They just let him. It's fine. It's fine. This day, April 1, Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak founded the Apple Computer Company. And Google launched its email service Gmail in 2004, which is amazing. I have like 15 Gmail accounts. And then
can you go back to Steve Jobs for just a minute? Steve Jobs, his mom... birth mom is from De Pere, and his adopted dad is from Germantown.
Really?
Little Wisco contact. Yes. I was shocked when I read his biography.
I never knew that. How did I never know that? Well, you know what? Dr. Lyerly.
His parents met at the UW. They were students.
Dr. Lyerly, you know what? You're always bringing good information, great vibes. And I want to kick it up with one more big vibe, mentioning the, in my opinion, the queen of country music. Dolly Parton. Today, on this day in history, in 2020, Dolly Parton gave $1 million donation to Vanderbilt University, their medical center, to help fund research for a coronavirus vaccine, thus making my uncle's emails to the family that much spicier forever. Yeah, that's it. It just says forward, 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 forward. Dolly Parton is a communist. So, Dr. Lyerly, we got you for one more segment in the top of the second hour, and I'm so happy to have you here today. We're going to talk about doctor visits, and it's going to be fun, but
get a little personal.
We'll see. We'll see. But for now, folks, I want to thank you all for listening. You're listening to Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go too far. Come on back. We're going to be here talking doctor's visits, elections, and fun stories with Selena Heller. Don't go far. Talk to you soon. You are beautiful.